So this morning, we're looking at part two of the Lord and His Prayer. This prayer has only 62 words, but they change us and they change the world. The first 20 words that Alex looked at last week teaches us the things that we need to know about God. 21 words in, we find Jesus encouraging us to ask our loving Father for the essentials we need for life. I call them the three P's: provision, pardon, protection. Provision of daily bread, pardon for our sins, protection from evil. So starting with provision, we say, give us today our daily bread. One image that is central to the Christian gospel is bread. It is a rich symbol, and maybe it would be worth looking at bread in more detail another time. However, for now, the first and most obvious meaning of this request is that God would sustain us physically. Bread represents nourishment in much of our world. Where there is access to the staple carbohydrate, there is also security. Bread is security. We know we will not starve. In this book, Sleeping with Bread, we read of many children who were rescued and placed in refugee camps during the war, but they could not sleep at night. They feared they would wake up again without food. Someone suggested giving them a piece of bread to hold. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "I will eat again tomorrow." They were holding what gave them life. There are many difficulties and problems facing us today in relation to the wealth of different nations. Give us our daily bread puts us in a lifetime of commonality with each other. Jesus didn't say, give me my daily bread, but uses the plural, give us our daily bread. Give us, Father. Give my family. Give my neighbour's family. Give Miss Smith in Swindon. Give Mr. MacDonald in Glasgow. Give Mrs. Patel in India. Give the Ivanov family in Russia and the Akinsala family in Africa our daily bread. And so when Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, it is also incumbent on us to share that bread wisely. I am reminded of the journey to the Promised Land and how God provided manna one day at a time. We too are asked to live and pray one day at a time, dependent on God for our daily bread. He is interested in our well-being and physical needs. In the gospel stories, we see Jesus' provision of fish in nets, water into wine, and baskets of bread from just five loaves. God's provision for daily bread meets the less tangible needs of our life as well. He is the bread that sustains and fulfills our spiritual hunger and needs. When we ask God for our daily bread, we are recognizing Him as the giver of all we need. We are living day by day, one step at a time. We are exercising simple faith in Him to provide just what we need when we need it. I particularly like the communion prayer that says, "You raised up Jesus, our Saviour, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. With empty hands we receive bread, the bread of life, the bread of today and tomorrow." And so we move on to the second P, pardon. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God has already met our greatest spiritual need, that of forgiveness and restoration through Christ. Jesus knows that we're all going to make mistakes over and over again, so includes a prayer for forgiveness. Just as the prodigal son was welcomed back by the loving Father, so God waits to restore us. And as God forgives us, we begin to realise that we are called to forgive one another. It's only through the cross of Jesus that our sins are forgiven, not keeping the Ten Commandments, not loving others as ourselves, not loving God with all our heart, our soul and mind. We are asking God to cancel out those sins, forgive us our debts And he does, because Jesus has wiped them out. But there is a clause. We are to forgive others. True forgiveness is not easy. The greater the sin against us, the harder the work of forgiving. Those who have been seriously abused, tortured, bombed out of their homes, unfairly sacked, abandoned by those they love in a divorce, or left to carry on without family at their side because of a drunken driver. And the list goes on and on. We all carry bruises and wounds, physical and emotional. And it's not about saying it didn't matter. We have to face up to the reality of what's being done. We may need help to forgive, but we are still required to. I thought it would be useful to hear this excerpt from the book called The Hiding Place. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a grey overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to devastated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I had been arrested during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where I was sent. Now he was in front of me. A fine message, how good it is to know that, as you say, our sins are forgiven. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard in there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from you. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I who asked every day for my sins to be forgiven, and I could not. It was only a few seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew it. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. And so woodenly, mechanically, I put my hand into the one outstretched to me. I forgive you. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. No, forgiveness is not easy. I've learned to draw fresh from God each day. Like Corrie ten Boom, our desire must be to forgive, to express a forgiving heart, and to start the process. It may take time to let go of the sin against us, but let it go, we must. And finally, we come to the third P, that of protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we pray this, It seems we are expressing our own weakness in the face of the trials and difficulties of life. We are saying, Lord, by myself, I can't do it. We are declaring our confidence in God's protection. The first half of the sentence is our weakness. The second half is God's power. I found a fourth P. In 1 Peter 5:8 we read, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And we are saying, in a very personal Lord's Prayer, O God, rescue me from Satan and his destructive force in my life. Deliver me from evil. To conclude, we have provision, pardon, protection, and the power of God. The Lord's Prayer, so brief in content, but so rich in scope. The Heavenly Father, whose name is hallowed, whose kingdom is coming, and whose will is to be done. Daily bread for the present, forgiveness for the past, and protection and deliverance for the future. What a prayer, taught by Jesus himself. The words unite all the Father's children. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. This verse doesn't appear when Jesus is teaching the disciples, but it is a statement that God is the same forever. And we say, Amen. Let it be so.